This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, CSS O, some classic old school. Ja Rule with Ashanti. Always on time. And then Ben comes out with some revelation.
You know, like this. Play nothing but the hits.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So Ben says, oh, no, that's Ja Rule. He had that party on an island, and then he came out gay.
What? All right, Ben.
Explain yourself now.
We now exactly. Cross over to Ben Karpinski.
How do you pull? Where do you pull this stuff out?
A variety of sources. And he didn't just have this party on the island. The party failed terribly.
Okay.
So him and his business associates, one of which was his gay lover.
Oh.
They've fallen into financial disrepair now.
Ben, you are also the same person.
What did you watch? What documentary did you watch?
All I can vouch for there is it's. What you call a party was more like a music festival. So he wanted to create his own, like, Coachella vibe. And so it was called the Fire Festival.
So is Ben right about this?
The party part. That's what I'm going to stick to and vouch for. And currently, his business partners, I can neither confirm nor deny whether there was some sort of romantic or sexual thing going on.
All right.
But they're being charged for fraud because, like, they made people buy these like ticket packages, but like they got there and they were promised like 5-star accommodation. Meanwhile, it was literally just a tent, and they were like served food in like little Perspex boxes.
And
so
he was
like,
outraged because gay individuals are far more flamboyant than the rest of us. So he wanted to have this amazing party. Like, I mean, come and join the dots again.
So now, where does a gay lover fit in exactly?
Well, see, you can tell me more about that than I would know.
Yeah, Ben. All I'm going to say
understand.
Is...
I thought Ja Rule was like a really tough, like gangster motherfucker.
Gareth, he's 4'7". How tough can he be?
Also, that doesn't really mean anything if someone appears tough.
Look, and I understand he did some time in prison. So, you know, that doesn't exactly count because a mouth is a mouth at the end of the day.
Guys, we're going to get back to this because there's a story that I saw yesterday. I need to know whether this is true or not. Apparently, some video has been released of a Morva Tony like being abusive to Uist when he was in the wheelchair.
Yes, Gareth. The clip was released on YouTube and very quickly went viral yesterday afternoon. And it sounds like a recorded phone call between Amor and the late Uist van der Westhuizen, where in this clip, Amor apparently refers to him as a little boy and a low-life asshole. And she says that, I wish I didn't marry you.
Wow.
So
explosive.
Yeah. The video garnered over 61,000 views in 2 days on YouTube. Now, some people are saying that the recording is completely fake. Amor herself has said that it was manipulated. And she says that it's an effort to destroy me. They want me to lose everything I've worked and fought for my entire life in an instant. So the singer has called for a complete, unedited version of this video to be released.
So she was crying at the funeral.
Since Hughes died, I've thought so much when we first fell in love, and there was this handsome man with the most beautiful eyes, with goals, ambitions, and a dynamic mindset. When we later met again at a rugby function, he swept me off my feet, and for a while, I was lucky to be a part of a fairy tale. Together, we traveled the world, we made wonderful memories, and truly lived life to the fullest.
But, they say in the subtitles, in reality, this is how she spoke to him. Jesus, all right, that's your
Shut up, you f**k. In a wheelchair, little boy. You can't do anything with yourself. You can't pee yourself. I don't need you in my life. He's such a low-life arsehole. Please, I wish I didn't marry you.
Wow.
Could that be f**k around? You know why? Because I have a great relationship with a great man. And you know what? You don't need to know about it because I can't ride you like a horse and feed you that horse and then burp you out like a baby. So there you have it. You like it. You like it. You like it? Yeah. So go to bed really, really well. You know what? I've got many guy friends. And you know what? Anyway, shit.
Wow. So there we go. That's from the Heisgenoot. It sounds like they're really digging deep. But let's go to someone who knew Uist quite well and who we know quite well. Alan Ford, who's on the line. Hey, Al.
Good morning, Gareth. How are you doing?
No, good, man. I saw you were going crazy on Facebook last night, and I thought you're the person to talk to. So you
I
think
I'm going crazy. I just
No, you know what I mean.
Piece, yeah.
I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm just saying you were kind of upset.
Well, I was just quite surprised by obviously seeing firstly hearing that tape. Number one, and number two was just knowing that he actually probably did record it.
So, first of all, you think it's real?
Well, you see, Gareth, I tell you why I do think it's real, because they had a very, very, very their relationship at the end was, in particular, at one point when he wanted the divorce, was very, very bad. And very abusive. There was a lot of fighting and a lot of things. And the first thing that went when Uist was ill was his speech. When we went along to Dubai, and I traveled with him quite a bit, was people thought he was drunk, so they wouldn't let him into places. So we had a doctor's note, because he would slur and speak very badly like that. That's how he would talk.
Right.
So he still had the use of his hands and the use of his body, but the first thing to go was his speech.
Hmm.
And so I think it's very possible that he definitely did record it himself. Okay? So I don't think at that particular stage he was as bad as at the end, but those tapes could be 1 or 2 years old, number one. Number two, at that stage, Uist was dating somebody else. He wanted a divorce. And I was with him when there were abusive telephone calls going on between the two. But he couldn't really respond because he couldn't really speak. And so, yes, I do think he recorded it.
Wow.
I do think it's real.
So obviously, yeah. I mean, you know, the relationship deteriorated pretty badly. How do you think they felt about each other towards the very end?
You know, Gareth, the thing is that we all say things in anger, and we all say things at different points. So how did I feel towards each other at the end? I can't answer. But I do know for a long period of time, they were not on good terms. I know that, I remember Uist's birthday party. It was a dress-up for a movie theme. He dressed up as Forrest Gump, and it was the first time that they brought him in a wheelchair, basically. But he still had facilities on. But again, that's how he spoke like that. It became very, very, very laboured speech. And the interesting thing was that night turned out in a horrible explosion, okay, in front of his whole family, including his brothers. And again, this he grabbed the kids and rustled to the car. She left Monte Cassino, as I said, Coco Bongo. And I couldn't believe how this woman behaved after singing a love song towards him. And then, basically, I actually SMS'd a mean, nasty person. You are a cruel human, because I just saw what you did. And so they had that type of relationship. This is how were they at the end? I don't know. I think maybe they made peace. Maybe they didn't make peace. I don't think those tapes are recent. They didn't really not. In the last, let's say, 6 months, or the last 6 months preceding his death.
But Alan, do you not think that Heisgenoot is manipulating the parts of the tape? Because if I'm always asking for the entire conversation, obviously there's some context missing here.
Well, you misunderstand something. I'm not pro Heisgenoot. I'm not against Heisgenoot. I'm saying, and maybe you're correct, Ben, let's play all the whole tape. But I'm trying to say this. The type of relationship they had.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of the time, they were screaming at each other. They were, but he didn't, because he couldn't speak. That's the thing here. He can't talk.
Mm.
So, but, and she was angry with him, and they were fighting, and they were, it wasn't happy, they're lucky.
No.
I think maybe towards the end, I'm telling you, those tapes are not, they're not new. Those are not like it happened the last.
So two, how do you think, how do you think Heisgenoot got those tapes?
Yeah, I always wonder that too.
Can I tell you something? And this is a theory. It's not. I don't know this to be true. I think Yus definitely recorded it. I think Yus had somebody that was close to him that would then, after his death, wait a few months and then send them off, depending on how bad the proceedings would go for the will and for his. It's a theory. Obviously, it's not. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know what it was in the back.
Right.
But I do think so. Because I know at a certain point in time, and I'm not the only person who's witnessed it, but he was very, very adamant that he hopes that the truth about the other side of their relationship or a more side would come out.
So.
And so that's why I do think. That could have happened. But I do want to put one thing into context, and I think this is important, that when people go through a divorce and they really despise each other, because it does happen,
sure.
That's what does happen. You end up saying terrible things to each other. You say horrible things to each other. I must be honest, if you listen to the voice, it sounds like Amor has had a few things to drink, which is possible. I mean, then she's probably lashing out.
Well, it sounds like Joost is too, but we understand his condition at the time.
No, but you see, Joost, a year and a half before he died, that's what he sounded like. So yeah. If I used to phone him, that's what he sounded like. I'm not trying to.
Could you understand him?
We couldn't understand him, Gareth. You battled too, because he was slurring. He was writing at one point. He couldn't talk.
So a lot of people are asking, why were they speaking English to each other? Did they speak Afrikaans to each other or English?
Well, I mean, I want to just use this example. Nicky van der Walt and Leanne Lienberg, very dear friends of mine, they cross between languages all the time. So they would speak English and they'd speak Afrikaans. I mean, it's...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, when the speech is made, why didn't Amor give her speech to Yus in Afrikaans as François Pienaar did at the funeral? I mean, you're addressing your family and your children and you speak Afrikaans. I mean, people speak just between languages. Come on.
I got you.
I mean,
all right.
But again, it's. What I just said is I couldn't believe because I do believe it to be true. That's why I shared a post. That's all it was.
All right.
I certainly have nothing against Amor, and I like Amor. I mean, I've got an issue with it. But it's not like I'm having a dig. I just, the point of sharing it was to say that it is very sad, and I think it's true, that is what a beautiful, loving relationship with two children can boil down. Absolute venom and hate.
Al, someone says here, Amor was hurt by Joost. To be honest, he seems like he was a real prick for a long time. Just because he had motor neuron disease, he's now revered. Come on. What do you say to that?
Gareth, it takes two to tango. I'm going to say that in the story. In this world, it takes two to tango.
All right.
And I will tell you one thing. Is that Joost always, with a very proud conscience, said, I said, but Joost, why don't you tell the full story? Exactly what happened. Not just what was in the book. Why didn't you? Why don't you tell both,
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? That is always going to be the mother of my children. That's why I don't want to say everything. And he didn't reveal everything. That's true. He did not.
Well, you mean he was holding back to protect her?
He held back on things, yeah.
Wow.
As people do in relationships. You know, you don't want to hurt everybody. You don't want to air your dirty laundry. And, I mean, just because he got... Do you know, I don't think anyone understands what ever happened with those tapes. Gareth, you know, those tapes were not delivered to Heat magazine and to Melinda Shaw and Under Nedlin by the people that made those tapes. Those tapes were delivered by the security people that seized the tapes in a raid from those people on Yost's behalf and then made copies and kept it and then sold it only two and a half years later after them.
Wow. I didn't know
that. Those tapes were made. So that's Charmaine Long. Did not sell those tapes to you. There was a private investigating firm. Let me tell you the story. Actually, hey, let's go for the story.
Yeah.
Because it was told to me by Yost that Yost was being blackmailed. He had a golfing gig at Peakenwood. And at Peakenwood, Gareth, he decided to set up a sting and hire a private security firm to meet these people and seize the tape. What the arrangement was this woman that made the tape, her brother and her brother-in-law got into a car. They met in a dark corner of a parking lot by the golf club in Peakenwood.
Yeah.
For used to hand over a bag with 30,000 rand. Now, not a bag, but whatever, a plastic packet or paper bag. And he would get those tapes in return. When those people got there, these cars all came from everybody. And this private security firm got a hold of them, got a hold of the tapes, and buggered them up, smashed them to pieces.
Yeah.
Took the tapes, and then said to Yost, while he was emceeing an event at this Peakenwood Golf, it was a golf day, that they have got the tapes and they've destroyed them. Two and a half years later, they sold it to Heat Magazine. It wasn't this the woman that made the tape and her family. Wow. She went on with her merry way. And the other two got smashed, licked them to pieces.
Huh.
So that's another interesting thing. So the reason I say that is I'm saying is what was revealed, what was the truth, wasn't always the truth.
You mean there's more to it? I mean, I don't understand why he wouldn't have told that story. I remember all he was saying at the time was, you know, he's a good Christian. He would never do this. He denied.
But he did do it. He did do it.
Yeah, but he denied it. You remember how long he went on and on?
Yeah, but he was an idiot for denying it. But the fact of the matter is, we know it's true. He asked for forgiveness. I mean, we know it's true. And his funeral was spoken about very clearly by his pastor. Very clearly. He said that it was one of the worst things he ever did in his life. And the shame of it. And he disappointed his parents and his children and his wife, and he went through the whole thing. Hmm. And so, yes, it was true. But, I mean, as I said to you, things were not always as they seemed. And that's what happens in books. And in life, you tell half stories, you don't tell the full story. You know what I'm saying? You don't reveal every single aspect. Plus, I did think Yosef was in fear, because these guys were quite they weren't good oaks.
They're dangerous people.
Yeah, that they were going to there would be a backlash and there were threats against his kids and things. But again, was he in the wrong to publish it or in the right to publish it? Is you or Hastings in the wrong to publish it or in the right to have the right to publish it? The simple thing is this, Gareth, when we put ourselves out as well-known personalities, when we thrive on the media and on the public support to become stars or for a notoriety, we have to be able to take both sides of the coin. You have to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good. And this is another one of those things here that people say, why don't you leave him alone?
When last did you speak to her more?
I spoke to her around the time of the funeral to see how her leg was and how things were going. I haven't spoken to her about this. It would be good to speak to her and get on the line, Gareth, about it. The thing is that you're going to, I mean, I don't know what story you're going to actually get, but I know that I had been with him, and so had a number of other people. And people with me in Dubai, and we can that those are the types of conversations that they were having. They were fighting with each other. They were malicious. They were being very mean. You won't see your children, or your children will always know what type of person you are. And
wow.
I have moved on, and I don't want you, and you are a... But I will defend one thing here, that this wasn't, I can tell you, this wasn't recent. This definitely, those were when he was speaking like this 2 years ago. So it was very possible that it was a while ago. But, yeah, I'm sure you recorded that himself.
No.
There's no way he would have. Yeah. And then somebody that he gave those tapes to in the midst of all this decided to say, come on to me and repeat it. Yeah. Which
right,
I think I'll... probably he wished for. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's my take on it. But again, there are only two people that know exactly what happened in this relationship. It's just in them all.
All right.
And I do hope and I do think at the end, Gareth, though, that there was peace that was made. When I saw her at the funeral and I spoke to her on a couple of occasions, I think she was genuinely saddened by this. And she was saddened for her kids, and of course she mourned because they really did love each other. But I think that through the divorce process, which was in the middle of his illness, there probably was a hell of a lot of fighting. And there was a hell of a lot of things that were said that perhaps she even doesn't remember. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks,
Have
Al.
A good day.
Okay, man.
See
Cheers.
You on Thursday.
Cool. Alan Ford, host of The Unview and a friend of Joost's. They were good friends for a long time. It sounds very complicated, hey?
It is complicated.
Jeez.
Yeah. And really, yeah, he sums it off perfectly, you know, towards the end. Put everything aside, these were two people who, at one stage, yes, they loved each other, but they were going through a divorce. And they didn't, you know, there were moments where they possibly did not, you know, want to be in contact. They couldn't stand each other. And so in anger, you could say certain things.
Yeah, listen, I don't really... I'm interested in why it suddenly surfaces now and who let it surface, who took it to a magazine.
And why now?
Yeah, and I guess, is that... it's just, there's a lot that just sits uncomfortably with me.
And also people, when they get all holy now, like, oh my gosh, they were fighting. Every couple has a moment where they say shit to each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
And you will go... And you will resort to like that lowest common point.
Yeah.
Lisa Marie says, listening to you guys, the first time I've heard that clip, and with no visuals, it sounds extremely edited.
Massively.
Then someone saying, Alan Ford will not stop talking. And another person saying, coming up at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. today, it's our Disrupt show. That's correct. But we can actually sit with Pumi. Just before that, and get to meet him and get to hear about his stories. That's all coming up. Mubs, over to you in the news.
Okay, so how about a little bit of treason with your order of breakfast this morning? Anybody feel like a side order of treason?
I love me some treason.
I heard there's quite a lot going.
Because that is exactly what Outa would like to see happen if they're successful with the charges that they've laid against Msebenzi Zwane, that would be the minister of a mineral resources minister. Yes, they're laying charges of high treason against the minister.
Wow.
The charges are contained in an explosive 51-page affidavit, which was compiled by Outa. The charges are high treason, extortion, corruption, fraud, theft. Ooh, talk about a long list. The civic rights organization laid the criminal charges at the Randburg police station earlier yesterday. They relate to the minister's alleged role in helping the embattled Gupta family to, among other things, acquire the Optimum coal mine and then allegedly steal money from the Free State Frieda Dairy Farm to fund their niece's Sun City wedding.
Yo.
They also relate to him abusing his position of power as minister to the benefit of the Gupta family, as well as their associates, in the landing of their wedding guests at Air Force Base Waterkloof in April 2013.
Hmm.
Zwane, who has been charged under the Prevention of Organized Crime Act, is among the first of the known Gupta allies to have had criminal charges leveled against them. Remember last week, Justice was saying to us that, you know, he thinks that we slowly going to start seeing things changing in as far as action being taken.
Right.
And look where we stand now today. The first of many of the known Gupta allies officially being charged with something, and high treason being one of them. What punishment does that carry again? Treason?
Oh,
isn't treason. That the worst crime?
High treason is the worst thing you can be accused of.
Mm.
In some countries, even where they don't have the death penalty, they reserve the death penalty for high treason.
So even in this country where we don't have the death penalty, it could be reinstated.
I stand to be corrected here, and maybe there's some legal experts who can fill me in. But apparently high treason is the one crime. Maybe it's just during war. But high treason is the one crime you can still get capital punishment for, which means they'll kill you. It's a big deal. It's the most serious crime of all.
So Auto recently also laid charges against former communications minister Faith Mutambi. This is after Auto alleged that Mutambi, who is now the Minister of Public Service and Administration, is also involved in state capture and has been captured by the Guptas. Her transgressions are so serious that this merits treason charges as well, according to a statement that Auto released. Sure. Back in 2015, the Western Cape High Court found that Mutambi acted irrationally and unlawfully in her appointment of Claudie Motsoeneng as Chief Operating Officer of the SABC because of the Public Protector's findings against him of abuses of power. Mutambi's abuse of power led to the SABC's current financial crisis, plunging it into billions of rand in debt.
I'm in favor of this. I've been saying for the longest time, somebody's got to pay, right?
Yeah.
We want blood. People in this country are sick of being ripped off. A couple of other messages coming in. It sounds like trailer trash in that tape. Or more anyway. Like one of those girls who wear too much makeup on a night out, gets drunk, and then starts screaming.
Oof.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to make of that tape. Really.
Well, if you were Hayes Genoot, and this thing lands on your desk, what do you do?
Well,
because we might all have an opinion on
what they
were supposed to do or what they should have rather done.
What do you do, Al?
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is he's...
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I suppose you're in the business of gossip. You know?
Yeah, you're in the business of...
So I suppose this is what you do.
Mm. It's part of your job.
Yeah, but I'm thinking he has a dead guy who had motor neuron disease. He has a single mother with two kids. Forget that they were once famous. It just feels tacky beyond words.
Well,
the behavior in the clip is tacky. The fact that the magazine decided to publish it is tacky. It's just all. And if they edited that video, if they made an edit, they better be careful.
Well, you've now got me thinking along the lines of, who did leak it then?
Mm.
And what do they have to gain?
Unless you just kind of left it with someone who he told. Take this to them.
Which is what Ellen seems to think.
Oh, it's very interesting. All right, what else have we got?
Well, what in the Bill Cosby is going on here?
What do you mean?
So last week we did discuss a bit of the alleged R. Kelly sex cult.
Oh my God.
That's going on. Well, another young lady has now spoken out against R. Kelly, and she's spoken what she has experienced, saying that R. Kelly, yes, lured her into his life, and that she is the one who luckily got away. So speaking to TMZ, this young lady says that she also met R. Kelly backstage at one of his shows when she was only just 20 years old, and that they started texting and calling each other after that. So Kelly reportedly promised to help her become a model and actress. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Then a certain Cosby also promised a certain young lady to help her with her career. But she then says things got weird when she visited his home in Georgia. So after being told by R. Kelly to wear something sexy.
Right.
How do you wear something sexy for a business meeting? Anyway, she took a friend along with the visit because she was slightly uncomfortable. That was a first flag for her. So on arrivals, R. Kelly said that no cell phones were allowed.
and that she was taken straight to Ari Kelly's bedroom.
Wow.
Where he convinced her
straight away, huh,
to take sexy pictures and strut around like a model. Girl. Afterwards, he paid her with instructions of what to buy with the money and what to wear on their next visit. So after that, he also booked her a one-way plane ticket. Oh, this is freaky. And told her to not bring her friend along next time she visited. And then she felt uneasy about it and told her mother straight away, who then intervened and cancelled the trip. So that's how she believes that she basically got away easily. But yeah, so evidently it is not the same with all these other young girls who are like sucked into this R. Kelly circle. And once again, this is instantly like just sends chills down a spine.
Yeah, he's a real creeper.
Mm.
Do you know what somebody said to me the other day?
Mm-hmm.
He because oh, no. No, oh, no, no, I know, because I also saw this on Twitter, and a lot of people were saying, okay, so R. Kelly's running a sex cult from his home,
mm-hmm,
but how is it different from
you and your dungeon?
Well,
oh, that's a
no. This person was saying, but how is this different from like the Playboy Mansion, for example, where girls were invited to come and live with Hugh Hefner. They all had sex with him at different times. He paid for them. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. This person was trying to say, well,
that's a good point.
What is the difference between the two setups?
See, if you've got consenting adults, there's no story.
If you've got consenting adults, there's no statutory rape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because these girls are young, but the law says that they are of age, correct?
And they can consent.
Yeah.
And they can consent.
Because even in America, over the age of 18, you're now considered someone who can make your own decisions.
Yeah, I do find the guy very creepy, yeah. but maybe he's just a sex fiend and maybe he's not doing anything illegal. Mm-hmm. But he is dodgy.
And yes, he does manipulate the power that he holds over these women, because he does.
Sure.
You know, you throw a little money here, you promise them a gift here and there. That's you using the tools at your disposal to try and get what you want out of these girls.
Right.
You know, I think the paying for boob jobs, the parties, many girls and he's just one dude, whatever the case is, you can sort of look past that. But it's the idea that the families of these girls have no communication or contact with these girls.
That's a little
there
bit
are
odd.
No cell phones. You see, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the freaky part for me.
It's a control mechanism for him.
Yeah. Playboy Mansion. Well, listen, why am I even trying to defend Hugh Hefner? Either way, just...
No, I mean, our point is fairly clear. If there are consenting adults involved, then it's a private matter.
Mm.
If these girls are now coming out saying, oh, we were abused, then it starts smelling like they're looking for his money. If it turns out that he did do anything illegal, then we've got to look at all of the stories.
Mm.
But I don't know. I mean, maybe he's just a freak, you know?
I think that's evident, but...
yeah, he's definitely, like, he has kinks. He has things that turn him on.
Right.
He has kinks on kinks.
I mean, his ex-wife was the one who, you know, went on to a reality TV show and spoke about how he would ask her to urinate on him as part of the sex acts.
Maybe he had a snake bite.
So
no, it was jellyfish.
Blue bottle sting.
Maybe he has jellyfish in his pool, Babs.
Yeah.
Sure, Ben. I'm just reporting on what was allegedly said.
Robert Kelly, you nastiness.
So if you were to go into Airbnb and, you know, there's like this feature where you have like a wish list. So you find places you look at and you go, oh, I'd love to stay there one day.
Yeah.
What kind of an abode do you reckon is currently the top of the wish list?
Wow. Maybe like a French chateau.
Okay.
Mm, a Tuscan villa.
Yeah.
A castle.
A beachy resort.
A hippie's treehouse.
No.
Done. I'm done.
There is a man in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's been an activist, environmental activist for quite some time. And on his property, he used 7 trees to create this amazing sort of treehouse.
How amazing is it, Ben?
Gareth is pretty good, actually. So there's a video around it, and it's marketed. And
wow.
The sky is marketing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's on there, costing $375 a night to stay in this treehouse, right? And there's no bathroom. Wow. There's no adjoining bathroom here. But 147,052 Airbnb users currently have this on their wish list.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's cool. It's like little walkways that go from one little tree house to another. And it's a place where you can really go and recharge and all be right. away from it all.
Well, it doesn't sound as horrible in your description as it did when you said a hippie's tree house.
Well, it's essentially what it is.
So that's the number one rated destination on B&B. Airbnb. Look,
tree houses are amazing, right? Because it appeals to your child instincts. But then if you make it like an adult one, it's really great because now you feel like this like Peter Pan kind of element come back to you. And if there's a little bit of luxury involved, like a long time ago, Daniela took me away for my birthday and we stayed in this tree house and there were like giraffes walking around. It was amazing. We had walkways, there were outdoor showers.
That sounds amazing.
That does sound good.
All right.
I mean, when you talk about little luxuries,
Well, you think like a tree house.
Do you have electricity, for example?
Yes.
Okay.
So what is a tree house normally? It's just a whole bunch of wood and a pile of pornos in the corner.
Yes.
That's what a boy's tree house always was growing up. But now you can actually live in a place. It's got curtains, it's furniture,
okay.
proper floors, and the walkways.
Sounds pretty good, actually. All right. I buy it.
The most requested Airbnb listing.
Listen to this quickly. Please post the pics of our show and tell goodies. Ben, will you put that on our Instagram account?
It's on Twitter as well.
Guys, Joost was one of our greatest sportsmen we've ever had. Let's remember that. He was part of the greatest moment in our history in 1995 in rugby. Fuck all this bullshit. It's not necessary. The man was a legend. Focus on that rather. Regards, Gadge.
Gadge, spot on. It's the same with Joel Stransky. People always want to throw things at him, but what kind of person he is, who cares? He kicked a ball through the post and like the whole country cheered at one moment. If you can make the country cheer for one moment, then we'll also look away from things you've done.
Joost, according to Supernova, Joost had two tacky tapes in his life and all have him and a blonde in it. Poor guy. All right, very nice. We're going to...
Yeah, no, I'm done.
We're going to meet one of our listeners, a guy called Tony Friday. He's from Zim. He's actually the program director for ZFM Stereo. I hope I got that right. Biggest station in Zimbabwe. We'll meet him in a moment or two. He runs two other regional stations in Zim, and we'll talk to him about radio. He's a big fan of what we're doing here at cliffcentral.com. So we'll talk to him about that and more. And then on the way, Mpumi Nhlapo, who is the host of Disrupt, a show that we've been hosting here on cliffcentral.com for the longest time with T-Systems. We get to meet Bumi in a short while. Love it. It's Linkin Park with Burn It Down. I reckon their best song ever.
Was this a recent song? Pardon my ignorance.
About 2013, 14. Ah. It's very good.
Sounds very BLF though, huh?
What do you mean?
Break it down.
Oh, burn it down, break it down.
Build it up.
All right, it is time for us to meet someone who is in radio. We all like radio people, don't we, Sia?
Well, it's interesting because he approached me actually last week when we were broadcasting live at MediaTek, and he came up and he was interested in our setup and finding out and asking the right questions. So he said, hey, come on in.
There's a great sensational wonder today, we know. Everyone is talking and fooling with radio.
Yes, radio. So his name is Tony Friday. See, I met him the other day at MediaTek. So, Tony, did I get that right? Is it ZFM?
Yeah, ZFM Stereo.
How are you, man?
Great. I love you guys.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah, I love your work.
So, are you guys based in Harare?
Yeah, we're in Harare, but it's a nationwide radio station.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's privately owned or it's government owned?
Privately owned.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How's business?
It's the first privately owned radio station in Zim.
That's very impressive.
Been in existence for the last 5 years.
How's it going?
Great. We're celebrating our fifth birthday on the 15th of August.
All right. So you've got clients?
Of course we do.
You have listeners?
I hope we do.
I was checking. All right, so when did the whole thing come about? Were you there at the beginning?
Yeah, I was actually the first jock on the radio.
Wow.
When we launched on the 15th of August 2012, because I had been in South Africa for about 3.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I came back home to join that station. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
So what kind of shows did you do when you started?
I did the 12 to 3 show.
No, what kind of stuff did you do?
Well, I mean, it's just music, and it was called The Block. Music, entertainment, you know, lunchtime stuff.
What sort of music did you play?
Pop stuff.
It's a contemporary hit radio station. Yeah, all right, yeah. Very good.
Only cleaner.
Okay. No, well, that's all right. You want it to be clean. Sure.
Yeah.
So is it hard to run an independent radio station in Zim?
It's pretty tough in the environment that we're living in Zim right now. It's not the easiest thing to do because there's a lot more competition now than there was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 14 radio stations.
14?
Now. Only 14, yeah.
It's a lot, though.
Well, we have a population of about, 13 million people.
Yeah, so it's each million people get their own radio station.
Radio station.
So sounds fair to me.
14 radio stations, 6 are national.
Yeah.
And 8 are regional.
But you, according to CA, you run 3 stations.
No. I'm program director for one, which is EFM Stereo. I also help run the programming for the other 2 stations.
Oh, okay. So you're almost like, is that like you're helping them out?
No. It's actually because the 3 stations are all owned by one group, which is called AB Communications.
All right, and who's the guy who put up the money to make all this happen?
It was a whole bunch of guys.
Oh, really?
A whole bunch of guys, yeah. Okay. Different shareholders, yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the plan for you guys? I mean, are you growing nicely, or are you sitting still at the moment? What's going on?
Yeah, in terms of listenership for the regional radio stations, the growth has been really, really fast. We just need to translate that into, you know, tangible revenue.
And what is English the medium of conversation on all 3 stations?
For ZFM Stereo, it is.
Okay.
But not for the other 2. Well, it's...
Are the other 2 in Shona?
For the other 2, one is in Shona and English, and Ntebele.
Okay.
And then the other one is almost 90% Shona.
Wow.
Yeah, just a little bit of English and the minority local dialects.
I hate radio management. I always have.
Why?
Because they're horrible people. Because they try to tell us what to do. Are you a nice manager? Are you one of those people who gives your DJs trouble?
I hope I am a nice manager.
All right.
Yeah.
And who's your biggest star on your station?
On our station. Well, which one? ZFM Stereo?
ZFM's the big one, right?
Yeah. We have, there's quite a few, actually. Titch Mataz is on our station.
Is Titch there?
Yeah, Titch is, he does our Saturday morning breakfast show. Yeah, he does our Saturday morning breakfast show.
What happened to him? I mean, he was here on 5FM for a while, and then suddenly he had to leave. Was it like visa stuff or?
Legal, yeah, visa legal stuff. Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, and then he went to Zim, and has he been on there for a long time in
He Zim? Was in Zim. He has been on radio since 2012, but on another station.
Okay.
And then
you guys buy him over?
Like, something like that.
All right. Yeah. Very nice.
So he does a weekend breakfast. Yeah.
Wow.
Which is quite big.
So what does he have to say for himself?
I think we'd have to call him and ask
him. You get him to come and talk to me sometime.
Yeah.
He's allowed to come here, right?
Yeah. Give me your number. Ask him to give you a shout.
All right, so you listen to us with cliffcentral.com.
I do. I love the sex show on Friday.
Oh, very nice. I'm very glad that
you and a lot of people.
You know, we try to be useful, Tony.
What happened to that other lady spider? What happened to her? Where did you?
Oh, Black Spider. Well,
yeah.
She got on the
sexy
air one morning.
Spider.
Sexy spider. Spider. She got on the air one morning. She was a little bit tipsy.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was one of those.
Well, we didn't fire her, but she decided it was probably in her best interest to not...
Yeah.
I know she's still around. She was good fun, though. I liked her.
She was. I liked how she did the whole sex thing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And you don't find John T very off-putting and creepy? No?
A little bit.
But you keep coming back for more. All right, what are the shows do you
listen
to?
Well, this week, they're doing what?
Live
Squirt?
I love the comedy shows.
Very good.
Yeah, and the business stuff. I'm also into, you know, I'm a young entrepreneur as well, so yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine there must be challenges with running a radio station. The most difficult part must be bringing in the money.
Yeah, and most importantly, trying to figure out who you're speaking to, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, because... you know, I always try to use this example, like, you know, if I was to blindfold you and take you to some strange Asian country,
yeah,
and then unblindfold you,
yeah,
and then say, speak to these people, you have absolutely no idea who they are, so you don't even know what language to use or what sort of things to talk to them about, you know. But then the more information you get about them, you know, it becomes easier.
It's hard though.
It's tough.
So, what do you think of radio in South Africa generally?
It's brilliant.
You think so?
Although I do think
Name one show that's brilliant.
Cliff Central.
No, but we're not on radio. We're online. I mean, do you listen to the other stations?
I listen to Kaya a lot.
Okay, what are they up to? I haven't heard them for a while. Who's doing their morning show right now?
Bob.
No.
David O'Sullivan.
Oh,
what happened to God?
That's right. He's, Bob moved to... Yeah. He's in management.
Bob is in management now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I think he does the top 40 on a Saturday.
They don't have the chat show anymore.
He does something on a Saturday.
They scrapped the chat show.
God, okay. See, none of us really know what's going on there. Yeah. Well, there we go. Well, see the Kaya FM audience ratings. Is it hard to get figures on your ratings in Zim?
It's extremely
difficult. How do they figure it out?
Well, there's research companies that claim to know, so we go by that.
Okay, and then advertisers do as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever get high-profile interviews like the president?
We haven't had a presidential interview in a bit.
You have had one?
He's done a couple of drops for us, though, in the past.
Oh, you're kidding. So this is...
Yep. Like top 40?
Yeah.
Hello, this is Robert. You're listening to the number two.
No, I'm kidding.
This is the number two song in Zimbabwe.
No, I'm kidding. No, not the president, but maybe a couple of, you know, high-profile people, sports people, business people.
Right. Yeah. Who are the celebrities who attract the most attention in Zim? Who would get you really good ratings?
You know, you would be so surprised. It's actually business people.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Like who?
There's a guy called Ginimbi. He's actually based here in South Africa.
Ginimbi?
Yeah.
What does
Genius.
He do?
He's
what
a business person. He's a socialite business person.
Uh-huh.
Slash other things.
Have I heard of him?
Maybe not.
I should have by the sound of things.
Yeah.
And do you ever listen to our No Borders show?
I haven't listened to
that. But two guys on, Kamu Piri and KF Malindi.
I should check that out. But I haven't listened to that yet.
Yeah, they do a show that's basically for the rest of Africa.
What is it about?
Well, they're Zimbabwean guys.
Okay.
And they started off with a show, and it was originally called...
Zim Conversations.
Oh.
Yeah, and they would just talk to a whole lot of Zimbabweans who were in South Africa or across the world, and it was a way to connect Zimbabweans all over the world.
Nice. I'm sure I can catch a few podcasts on.
Sure, go and take a listen.
What time are they on, live?
They're on a Friday.
Friday.
What time? One. Yeah, it's like 1.
Okay. Yeah.
And how big is myzimbabwe.co.zw in Zimbabwe?
It's a huge site. It's very important.
Because, I mean, here we have, like, obviously a lot of big new websites.
It's a very important site, Ben.
I have issues with those guys.
Why?
Oh.
Do you think that they're fake news?
No. Because I think my challenge with a lot of the online publications is that, you know, because I live there, so sometimes they not so accurate when they write stories.
Like when they wrote about...
Okay, well, let's just look at the current homepage. 3 women gang rape well-known man of God.
Wow.
That was so. I saw that in the morning. I thought that was so weird. Because one of the ladies says, they just asked me to bring the condoms. I wasn't part of the whole whatever. And I'm like, okay.
Wow. It seems like a wild place. Like, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens.
I don't know. The story sounds pretty hectic.
I've been to Harare once or twice. How's it going over there?
The weather is lovely.
No. I'm talking about, like, what's the feeling generally? Because the last time I was there, it was upbeat, very positive. People are...
Harare people hustle to survive.
Yeah.
So when you get to Harare, the first thing that you notice is, you know, the speed at which things happen. You know, people are trying to make things happen. And so, you know, there's so much energy. But it's tough, generally.
And
infrastructure-wise. I mean, sometimes you know that you're drunk if you're driving down the road and you don't hit any potholes. That's what someone told me last time I was there. Is that true?
Not entirely. A little bit, but not entirely, yeah.
I love the stereotyping. Don't take anything I say personally. Mm. All right, and where are your offices based? Are you in the CBD?
We're in the CBD. Well, just outside the CBD, maybe about 10 k's outside the CBD, 5 maybe, in a place called Newlands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should go and work for you. How much you pay?
I don't think we could afford you, Gary.
Oh, I bet you could. You know what? I'm earning 0.0 at the moment. So you tell me.
I'm sure.
Give me an offer. I'll go. Bring Mabali and Ben. And Mabs, you want to go to Harare? Come on.
But then I would have to speak to HR first and see what's on the table.
Do me a favor. When you get
There's
back,
a guy called Steven.
Speak to HR and then, let's see.
Yeah, make an offer and then see if you can come down.
I like it.
Yeah.
Mabs, you in?
For a short while.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I'm not moving there, is what I'm saying.
So I'll fly you in.
Like, I'll be there for a month and then I'll come back.
Okay. Why? Amanda, are you keen? Why? Let me try and get Amanda to buy into this. She'll come with me. Amanda, you'll come, right? You'll come to Zim.
She's speaking. I can't hear.
Oh. I don't know what's going on here. Let me see if I can just change it here. Oh, I hate when machines don't work for us. Okay, yeah. No, still not. Sorry. Can't talk to Amanda. All right, well, very nice to meet you, Tony, and pop by and see us again sometime. What do you think of our little setup here?
It's beautiful. I love the, it's very yellow. And somebody needs to spray that couch.
Why? You think it's dirty?
A couple of ants.
Ants? Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. All right, we've got to go and sort that out. All right, let's get right to it. Thank you very much. Here is East Randers for today, Mubs, everybody's favorite.
Oh, boy.
Amanda has been scouring the East Rand for talent. Here's what we've got today.
Okay, so when I was younger, I used to be a bit of a drinker, a bit of a drawler, got all the happening clubs and all of that stuff. So this particular story is about a club called Sutra. So one night we'll decide we're going out to Sutra. We get there, make our way through to the bar. Back then, I used to enjoy drinking my Jack Daniels and Appetizer. I eventually had to stop drinking that drink. It used to give me the screaming shits, but that's a whole nother veil story. But this particular night, I ordered my drink, turned around, had a sip, put it on the bar, started talking to some girls or friends or something, can't remember. When I look back, my drink was gone. A bit pissed off, but these things happen, so I ordered myself another Double Jacks and Appetizer. Not the cheapest drink at the time either. Have a couple of sips, put it on the bar, carry on talking and dancing or whatever I was doing. Look back, my drink is gone. Really pissed off this time. I order a third one, expecting my luck to be different, but making the same mistakes. Once again, have a few sips, put my drink on the bar. A couple of minutes later, look back, drink is gone. So next time around, I asked the barman for a glass of ice. He gives me this funny look. I said to him that, seriously, just a glass of ice. Took the ice. My mates crowded around me a bit. I whipped it out. I peed in the glass, filled it up nice to the top. Waited a little bit for it to get cold. And I put it down on the bar. Carried on with my same ritual. Turn around, talk to my mates, dance a little bit. Look back. Glass was gone. So the reason why I proudly say the name Sutra out loud is so that hopefully one day the culprit can hear the story and know that it was him. And
I love the way this guy
enjoyed his quadruple piss on the rocks.
All right, well, I am amazed that this guy is still holding a grudge about three drinks that were stolen at Sutra years ago.
I DJed there once.
Yeah, I remember Sutra. They didn't have a bar with there was a channel in it.
Yeah.
And water used to flow through it.
Also, Jack Daniels and Sprite sounds like...
Appetizer, but a horrible drink.
Yeesh.
Hardcore, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Also, I don't think he would be the only guy that night to have pissed in a glass and his friends crowded around him.
Oh.
Oof.
It's just it's the funniest thing. Like it all revolves around drink. Like everything revolves around drink. The East Rand, the symbol of the East Rand should be a bottle of something.
Whew.
It should be on their coat of arms, don't you think?
But come on, held by a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Oh no! Oh no!
Ah, that's fantastic. All right. When we come back, we'll meet Mpumi Nhlapo, who is the host of Disrupt, our show here on cliffcentral.com, brought to you by T-Systems. He's actually the head of demand management, sales and service at T-Systems, and we'll get to spend a little bit of time with him figuring out what kind of a person he is, get to know him a bit better. He's been a host here for a couple of months now already, so he's part of the family. And we thought we'd give you an opportunity to meet him.
This is CliffCentral.com.